On this episode, you'll come to understand the warfare on the road to divine destiny and purpose, that even Jesus was called a sinner by religious leaders on his way to divine destiny and purpose. So what would they say about you on your way to divine destiny and purpose? Stay tuned.
Life was bitter to the core. There was nothing to live for until love came.
My name is Harold J. Perkins, and at the age of 17, I was sitting in my house getting high with about 10 other guys. At the time, I didn't believe in God. Then all of a sudden, I had an out-of-body experience, and I was lifted above the room. I saw myself sitting in the chair. Then I heard, "Is this all you're going to do for the rest of your life?" After that, I got up and I put those guys out and I cried out to Jesus Christ. He came into my life with liberty and purpose. Then I ran into religion. And it has taken me over 40 years to navigate through religion to fully understand what came in me that day. This podcast is to help put you on a faster track than it took me to get through religion and experience life, liberty, and purpose on a higher level. So get ready. We're about to start a revolution. Again, welcome. I'm really excited on this episode to continue talking about understanding the warfare. If you don't understand the warfare, you won't get to your divine destiny and purpose. We all have a divine destiny and purpose, but few make it all the way there. If you fully knew what your Heavenly Father has planned for your end, you'd have a hard time sleeping at night because you'd be so excited. But the challenge is in the road that you have to travel to get there. Yes, God has predestined a big pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for you, but few understand the journey there. If you're having issues and major challenges now, you're likely on the road to your divine destiny and purpose. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, that few understand the journey to divine destiny and purpose. If Jesus was alive on earth today, like he was when he walked the earth, here is what the Christianity of today would have been saying to Jesus while he was hanging on the cross. Jesus, you must have missed God somewhere, or maybe you have sin in your life. After all, you had one disciple betray you. You had another disciple deny you. You've been beaten with many stripes on your back before being placed on this cross. And here you are hanging naked before the world. Come on down off that cross. And let's have a counseling session to get to the bottom of your issues and see if we can get your life back on track. This would be the conversation of the Christianity of today because most don't understand the road to divine destiny and purpose. So they think when you're having problems and difficulties, you've either missed God or you're in sin. Let me show you what Jesus said before he went through all this. I'm in John chapter 13, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." While all these bad things were happening to Jesus, he was on his way to divine destiny and purpose by being glorified. To be glorified in this case was to be promoted to what he was sent to earth to do. And look at what he went through first. And he said, "The servant is not greater than his master." So if the master had to go through great challenges to reach divine destiny and purpose, so do we, or we would be greater than the master. Now understand that it was Satan who brought all those challenges to Jesus, and is Satan bringing all the challenges to you? And it will work towards your divine purpose if you hang in there, just like it did for Jesus. Listen to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 9. This is talking about Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all those that obey him. Wow. Jesus, the Son of God, learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So the suffering was for a purpose. he learned to submit to Holy Spirit and receive the power and grace he needed to fulfill his purpose. What I just read was what Jesus was going through in the garden before he went to the cross. But after submitting to the will of God there, he got up with supernatural strength from Holy Spirit and endured all those bad and painful things and was glorified to be our Savior and High Priest. Listen to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. You see, you can't glorify yourself, because if you could, then wouldn't you think Jesus would have done it? No, Jesus had to let Father God glorify him. Actually, it was Holy Spirit. We'll get into that a little bit later. But the ultimate purpose for Jesus was to be our high priest. His first priestly assignment was to take his blood to Father God in heaven and present it for payment for our sins. This is why he told his followers after he rose from the dead not to touch him, because he had not gone to heaven yet to present his blood. Now he sits at the highest position at the right hand of Father God and continues what he was glorified to do as our high priest, interceding for us before the Father. What a position. But look at the journey it took to get there. Our journey to being glorified will be a similar journey. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see, there is a glory in us that God wants to reveal. But if he promotes you and I the way the world does, you'll stick out your chest saying, look what I did. But if you go through something to get there, and now you see that if not for God, you would not have made it there, you give all the glory to God, and you can end on top instead of falling through pride. This is God's way of promoting you. He takes you through all of the warfare the enemy brings so you can finish well. Let me give you a couple of examples besides Jesus. Joseph was told by God in a dream when he was 17 years old that he would be exalted to such a high position that his mother, father, and brothers would bow down to him. After being told this in a dream, his brothers sold him into slavery. He was then made a slave in Egypt and later put in prison for a crime that he didn't do. After going through all this, he stayed faithful to God, and God promoted him from prison to second in command in the wealthiest nation of the world at that time. Another example is David. At the age of 17, it's something about this age 17. I was 17 when God gave me that out-of-body experience. But back to David. David, at the age of 17, the prophet of God was sent by God to anoint him to be king over his people. After this, David found himself running from the current king who was out to kill him. He was in exile from his people, and it didn't look like God was going to come through and promote him to king. If this wasn't bad enough, while him and his men were out away from their home, an enemy kingdom came and burned down their city to the ground and took their wives and their children captive. All this is happening to the man that God chose to be his king. But through all of this, David stayed faithful to God, and God led him to get his family back. And right after he did, the other king was killed, and God promoted David to be king. This is God's way, and it has not changed. If you're going to reach your great calling, and we all have one, you're going to have to go through the warfare. God is with you, just as he was with both Joseph and David. Both Joseph and David were in their 30s when they reached their divine destiny and calling. They went through over 13 years of challenges to be prepared to stay on top, and both finished on top in their purpose, just like Jesus. We see Jesus at 12 years old getting ready for his purpose that concluded at 33 years old. Trouble and challenges do not mean that you miss God. God leads us sometime down difficult roads to prepare us for our purpose. I remember when I had played a year and a half of professional baseball in Mexico. I didn't want to play there anymore, so I was looking for a job in the United States, and nothing was happening. I knew inside that God wanted me to go back to Mexico. I didn't understand why he wanted me to go back there, but I reluctantly went. And my first few weeks there, I had a bad attitude. Then I had some real pain in my leg. I started to tell them that I couldn't play, and I knew if I did, that they would send me home. And God revealed to me that my leg was in pain because of my bad attitude of not wanting to be there when I knew it was his will. So I asked his forgiveness, and I changed my attitude. We were about to start our next game, and the pain was still there. I was tempted to tell them that I couldn't play, but instead, I limped up to home plate, trusting God. I hit a ground ball that I had to run fast and try to beat it out. When I did, I felt no pain. It was instantly gone and never came back. And this time in Mexico, I saw the power of God on a level I had not seen it before. I was being equipped to understand the warfare and win. My biggest victory came on the heels of my lowest moment there. I had been there about a month or 6 weeks or so, and I was playing pretty bad. And now I had just had my worst game in my entire career. I had just struck out 3 times, and I had had it. After the game, I came and got on the bus to head back to the hotel, and I was ready to quit. I felt like crying. My emotions were all over the place. But let me show you the warfare that we are to do. On the last episode, I talked about praise as a weapon. Well, this experience enabled me to see the power of praise. Instead of crying, I lifted my hands and said, "Father, I thank you that the works of my hands are blessed. I want to thank you that I'm having good success. I didn't feel like doing this. I did this because I knew this is what faith does in the face of our enemy's attack." The next day, God helped me to have the greatest performance of my 8-year career with 3 triples in 1 game. I went on from that game to play great for the rest of the year. And that year was my most successful year of playing baseball. But more importantly, I came to understand the warfare better and saw the power of God at work on another level, as I said. The challenges are preparing us for something bigger than us. It's not about us. It's about people. If Jesus would have said, "Father, this is too much. Why do I have to go through this?" No, the Bible says that Jesus endured for the joy that was set before him. What joy was there in being mocked and beaten and killed? We were his joy in him bringing us back to Father God, raising us back up to a place of taking dominion on earth, showing us how to be glorified to our divine destiny. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Notice that he was the firstborn, so you and I could be born again in him and go through God's process of being glorified. Notice the progression. Listen to Romans 8:30 again. "Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." This is all God. God called. We answered the call by receiving Jesus. But it's God's calling. Then we were justified. That's all Jesus. Jesus justified us with his blood. Then we're to go on to being glorified. Now that's all Holy Spirit. How do we know this? Because Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 14, when he said, "I'm about to be glorified," he said, "The prince of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, so I'm not going to say much going forward." He was saying, "I'm going to let Holy Spirit glorify me." He showed us in the garden what we are to do while Holy Spirit glorifies us. He said, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." We are to continue to will to do the will of God and trust Holy Spirit to raise us. Just like Jesus was raised, this is how we are to be glorified. When we are on our cross of pain and suffering, we look to the end that our Father has told us and shown us and we endure rejoicing because we know God never fails. We will be raised to our divine destiny and purpose if we stay faithful to God, just like Jesus, just like David, and just like Joseph. And just like God did not leave nor fail them, he will not leave nor fail us. But we've got to endure the warfare Satan brings against us. And sometimes you can't listen to the religious leaders around you that don't know your purpose. The religious leaders in Jesus' day were calling him a sinner. Can you imagine that? Calling Jesus a sinner? And the leadership around Paul were trying to talk him out of going to Jerusalem because they saw that his way would be hard. But Paul listened to God speaking on the inside of him and went toward his purpose, even though he knew the way would be hard. Many years ago, God told me that he was about to lead me in a way that would be very hard. But he assured me I would come out and he would make all things beautiful. As I moved in this direction, many believers around me thought I was missing God, thought I was out of my mind, thought I was in sin, and it was the most trying time of my life. But the rewards that I'm about to reap will be exceedingly abundantly above the trouble I had to endure. You have to be determined to live a life in line with your divine destiny and purpose. And no one knows that but God and who he will reveal it to. Sometimes he will show it to others, but he wants to reveal it to you if you'll take the time to seek his face. He knows what he put inside of you. And in Hebrews 8:10, God said, I will write on your heart and I will write on your mind and I will be to you a God and you will be to me a people. God is inside of you. Listen to what he's writing on your heart and mind. He will never write on your heart what is contrary to his word, which is why you need to know his word. And if you believe it's God, step out with courage, even in the face of opposition. How can God be a God to us if we don't run into trouble in hard, challenging times? We know that God was a God to Jesus because he rose him from the dead. What a challenge. We know only God could have taken Joseph from prison to a place of dominion. God wants to do something just as powerful in your life, but how can he if you don't face impossible looking challenges? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Giving thanks to God when the enemy has just hit you with a big blow is a weapon. Praising God when things look impossible is a weapon. Speaking what the Word of God says when negative thoughts to the contrary are flooding your mind is a weapon. These are our weapons that are not carnal, but mighty through God that release God's power to turn things around. Spiritual weapons that move the realm that we can't see, that say to God, I still believe you. I still believe that you will cause me to triumph even over this. And the most powerful weapon we have is in our words, the words we speak to opposing situations and the words that we speak in prayer. I shared before how a family member was trying to take my mother's house. And the first day of court, it looked like they would succeed. And that night I went out to pray and I said to God, this is wrong. You know this is wrong. And Father, this is what I'm expecting to see tomorrow in the courtroom. I'm expecting to see that we have favor with the judge. I'm expecting you to confuse the opposing family member's attorney. And I went in court the next day and saw exactly what I said. God gave me what I said, just like Jesus said he would. Jesus said, whosoever will say even to a mountain to move and believe in their heart that God would do what they say, they will have what they say. This is written in God's word, and some would rather believe an unbelieving preacher than the words of Jesus. In the days ahead, this will separate the religious from those who are truly walking with God. With their words, those walking with God will change their lives for the better. They will change the lives of those around them. And they will be a witness that God is truly a living God as they endure Satan's warfare against them and come out in flying colors, giving all the glory to their Lord, Jesus Christ. Let me say right here, If you don't know our living Savior, Jesus Christ, you can get to know him now. Pray this prayer with me. Say, God, I believe that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. Jesus, I accept you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live this life. Thank you. That's it. It's that simple. If you believe what you just prayed, he has come in. Start reading the Bible for yourself. You can start in the book of St. John and in the book of Romans, and God will begin to show you his purpose for your life, and he'll begin to show himself unto you. Okay, we'll see you on the next episode. I was so cool.